Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servants to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I purchased a field and must go examine it. Please consider me excused.' Another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' Another said, 'I have just married a woman, therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out and there's still room.' Then the master ordered the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedgerows and make people come in so that my home will be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, we have one of the most important passages in Christianity. William Barclay, the great commentator on the New Testament, calls this the most beautiful passage in all of St. Paul, and I think he's right. We ponder it every Saturday night, and we will every Saturday night until we die in the Liturgy of the Hours. This is the epistle on Palm Sunday. The money quote about Christ's death on the cross and his exaltation is the Alleluia verse, the Praise to You, Lord Jesus Christ verse on Palm Sunday, as well as Good Friday. It is absolutely central to our faith. One of the great disappointments that I always have is it always gets bumped for All Saints Day. It gets bumped for All Souls Day. It generally doesn't appear. It's the first time we've had it at daily mass in 8 years. And it's the central linchpin to get into the true Christian mentality according to St. Paul. So today's a chance for us to do it. As Pope Benedict said very clearly when he gave 2 catecheses just on this passage back in 2005, it all hinges on our having in ourselves the mindset that was in Christ Jesus. That ultimately we're to take on the mind of Christ. Everything else flows from looking at reality as God looks at it and makes it and has created it for us. The same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. And what was that attitude? Though he was in the form of God, the two words for form in Greek, one is morphe, the other is schema. Morphe means more or less the essence. Schema would be the appearance. The word here is morphe. Though God's unchangeable nature, though Jesus' unchangeable nature was God, he didn't regard equality with God something to be snatched. One, because he had it. But then second, rather than holding on to it, he was going to pour it all out. Rather, he emptied himself. This expression, kenun, kenosis, we get the term, summarizes Jesus' incarnation. This is of life, focus so much in your prayer on Jesus' ongoing incarnation, where the extension of that incarnation of the world, God with us, is still with us. And to understand the incarnation, we have to understand kenun. Jesus didn't grasp equality with God, his divinity, something to be grasped. In fact, he poured himself totally out, taking on the morphe of a slave, taking on permanently, in a sense, our human nature. That is an ongoing kenosis of the Lord Jesus. An ongoing pouring himself out. For whatever reason, sisters, from the early days of my priesthood, as a priest gets hijacked in the Mass, I try to listen more than I do try to control the words. The words that have always kind of been emphasized, as I believe Christ prays the consecration through me, are those words in the consecration of the precious blood poured out. When I was a seminarian, when I was going to daily Mass myself as a layman, those words never really struck me. It was, this is my body, this is the cup at the time of my blood. But as a priest, I have a sense that Jesus is trying to say he's constantly pouring himself totally out, holding nothing back for us, taking on permanently the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, found in human appearance, he humbled himself. If it weren't enough that he outpoured his divinity to take on our humanity, he then humbled himself even further, becoming obedient even to death, death on a cross. So that is what Pope Benedict says is the whole downward thrust of the first part of this Christological hymn. We are called to imitate and take on Christ's mentality, his humility, his obedience, his not trying to claim privilege, but seeing his whole life as an outpouring. That's the first thing we need to do if we're going to be Christ-like. How humble are we? We've been focused on this yesterday and on Saturday. How obedient are we, listening to God in all things and saying yes promptly and wholeheartedly? And do we grasp? Do we try to hold on to the things of this world? Or do we thoroughly pour ourselves out of love for others? The second part, because of this, Jesus' whole identity, God the Father greatly exalted him. So first he comes down, but because of that, God lifts him totally up, bestowed on him the name which is above every other name. What is that name? First, it's Yeshua, God saves. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. Those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So every creature ever made. And every tongue confess. And this is, I think, and most scholars think, and Pope Benedict defines, was the name given. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Kyrios, Lord, not for his own sake, not just as the gold medal for a life well lived, but to the glory of God the Father. That God the Father's greatest glorification is when his Son is acknowledged as Kyrios, as Lord, and obeyed as Kyrios, and loved as Kyrios, and given permission to do his work as Lord. So Jesus pours himself out, but God exalts him in such a way that through the cross by which Jesus is lifted up and draws all people to himself, that will be his glory. The glory that the Father most seeks is that we relate to his Son as Kyrios. So to have the mindset of Jesus ultimately leads us to a confession of faith. And the shortest confession of faith is not the Apostles' Creed. The shortest confession of faith is Jesus Christ is Lord. It's one of the most defining characteristics of what it means to be a Christian, that we look at Jesus not just as the greatest person who ever lived, but as Lord, as God, who is worthy of everything. To have in ourselves the mindset of Jesus is the whole purpose of our Christian life. Everything that the church does is to help us to adopt that mentality, that attitude. Formation in the Sisters of Life is meant to help you take on this mind. Jesus in the Gospel shows us a glimpse of what is in his mind, of the way that he looks at things, of what his kenosis was all about. For the last few days he's been talking about the banquet. And the banquet is the banquet of his kingdom. And he's teaching us precisely about his kingdom in this world, in his kingdom forever. Remember what he's already done so far in the banquet. Talks about the guest list, talks about where we are to sit. But then today, the invitations go out. It's really important for us to be able to understand the mentality and the practice of a banquet in the ancient world for us fully to appreciate what the Lord is communicating here. Whenever there would be a banquet, because there weren't emails or mail to send on out, precisely with all the other elements. Most people didn't even have clocks. So that it would be in a few days, there's going to be a banquet held and you're invited. Are you able to come? Are you going to be in town? Yes. That would be the first thing. Nobody would know precisely when it would be, but people would start to get ready for the banquet. And then, when the banquet was ready, the messengers would go out and say, everything's prepared, the food's prepared, come. And that's what time people would get dressed and make their way over for the banquet. How outrageous it is. It's kind of like the people today still, who when you invite them to something, say, absolutely, I'll be there, and never show up. And never let you know that they're not going to come. Just totally stiff you. That's what's happening in the parable. It's not just an anonymous invitation. Can you come? And people say, no, I've got other things. They've already been invited. They've already accepted the invitation. And then when the messengers go out, as we see in this parable, and say, the banquet is ready, that's when the excuses come. Yeah, even though I've already said yes, I've got my property, I've got to go out to the field, work's more important, please consider me excused, sorry. Or, novelty, I just got 5 new yoke of oxen, I've got this new thing, this trumps what I had already said yes to, consider me excused. Or marriage, a real blessing by God, a great gift, which in this case was a relative curse because it was preventing them their coming to the nuptial banquet of the Lamb. We still hear these excuses all the time when it comes to the practice of the faith, especially to Sunday Mass, work or novelty or family, as if those are more important than the work of the Lord against the way he seeks to make us ever new. And the true call to be his family members, his sons and daughters, his brothers and sisters, even his mother, if we hear and do the word of God. And so then Jesus says, in a rage, in the parable, go out and invite those we talked about yesterday. The blind, the lame, the deaf, the crippled. We remember when Jesus first appeared on the scene in the synagogue of Nazareth in St. Luke's Gospel. What did he say about himself? in fulfillment of all those messianic prophecies, especially Isaiah. I have come to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He says, go out and invite the poor. Sight to the blind, go out and invite the blind. To help the lame walk, go out and call the lame. The whole messianic banquet was to invite all those who weren't on other people's invitation list. That's the mindset of Jesus. And then after they had all been invited, he sends his servants out once more to the highways and the hedgerows to invite basically all the Gentiles in. Compel them to come on in, he says. Use everything that you can to get them to accept this invitation. Why? Because even though it's freely given, there's a sense of urgency. Because if they don't respond to that invitation, they will die. Noah's Ark. You're either on it or you perish. Yes, it's a free response. No, we're not going to use force. But there's a special urgency. Listen, this is the way you will eat, period. Please accept this invitation. That's the mindset of Jesus. But there's one bigger aspect that we can't miss in these 3 days of focus on the banquet. Jesus doesn't say, go out and invite everybody to a public execution. He doesn't say, go out and invite everybody to a boring lecture. He doesn't say, go out and invite everybody to something you won't like. The greatest joy in the ancient world was a banquet. And Jesus was inviting us to an unending one. To put on the mind of Christ Jesus helps us to recognize that we're going on out into the hedgerows and the highways in order to invite everybody toward eternal happiness. But for us to have the mindset of Jesus, we cannot be dour. We cannot be, as Pope Francis says in Evangelii Gaudium, like people who are perpetually returning from a funeral. To be the salt of the earth means that we will bring flavor to the world, that we will bring joy, that we will become among the happiest people, because we're people who start every day with a participation in that banquet. Today, the Lord Jesus has invited us here, as I mentioned yesterday. Even though often we're blind and we can't see him, even in the Eucharist, or in the distressing disguise of those he sends. Even though that we're lame and don't always follow his footsteps. Even though our hands are maimed and often don't reach out to him and in charity toward others. Even though we're often deaf to his whispers and the way he seeks to speak to us because we don't obey what we hear. Despite all of that, Jesus sent out his church to bring us into his banquet, where, with his word every day, he helps us to take on his mindset. And then he pours himself out canonically so that we might be filled with him on the inside and united with him, exalted to the glory of God the Father. Praise be Jesus Christ.